Welcome back to Kidmin Talk. My name is Carl Bastian, a.k.a. The Kidologist. It's a name that means that I am devoted to be ever learning about kids, their world, and how to best reach and teach them for Jesus. If you're listening to this webcast, then you too are a Kidologist, because you also have decided to never stop learning. My mission on this program is to both equip and encourage you in your children's ministry. Kidmin Talk comes to you from Kidology.org, and you'll see that mission statement right at the top of the site. Today's show is sponsored by a brand new, innovative resource that we have created to help make following up with kids and families after your summer outreach so much easier for you, and by the cool music from those totally awesome Go Fish guys, and as usual, there'll be some awesome giveaways, so stick around as we talk about some really practical and encouraging stuff. So with no more delay, let's talk Kidmin. Well, it's always great to have this opportunity to spend some time equipping and encouraging you. Speaking of equipping, I am going to be headed out tomorrow to Seattle, Washington to do a bunch of training at the Northwest Ministry Conference. If you are going to be there, please drop by my booth, say hello to me and Brandon Maddux. Would love to put a face with an email address and meet you and shake hands with you and spend some time hanging out with you. Drop by after the workshops. I love getting a chance to meet people in person and just enjoy some fellowship with you. So if you are there or if you're in the Seattle area, this is my first time going to this conference. I've heard nothing but great things about it. And so I'm excited to finally get a chance to be a part of the Northwest Ministry Conference. And if you want to check out their website, it's just ministryconference.org. And so it's very easy to get information on that. Because I'm going to be out of town, I'm not going to have time to pick the winners from last week's contest. So I'm going to extend the deadline. Now, I've been blown away with how many comments I've gotten on my blog about my book review of Emery's Gift. I mean, it is amazing how many awesome and hysterical animal stories I have gotten on my blog from the book review. And so there is more opportunity there. It's going to be tough for me to choose some winners there. I'm probably just going to take all the names and do a random generator. But on the show notes from last week's podcast, there's not that many entries. So there is still a great chance for you to win a copy of Emery's Gift in the show notes. And I believe last week I said you needed to tell me a story or mention a book that has had a huge influence on you, because last week we talked about leaders are readers and readers are leaders. And so I don't believe anybody's done that. I think I got an animal story on the site last week, but I don't think anybody's talked about a book. So I believe that was the condition in last week's podcast. My brain's getting fuzzy. I might have to go back and listen to what the condition was. I may have said something in the forum about an animal story. I think I got confused with the blog. So at any rate, I'm going to get back next week and I'm going to go through the blog and the show notes and I'm going to pick some winners. I got a box of books from the author and I'm going to be contacting you by email or private message in the forum and the blog comments, and I'm going to be giving away a bunch of copies of the book. So last week's winners will have an opportunity to get a free copy of Emery's Gift, and then the rest of you, I would encourage you, follow those links and get a copy. And I want to emphasize again, as I did in the blog, this is not a book for kids. This is a book for adults, but it can be very insightful, but it's a wonderful book. And I would encourage you to take a look at that. It's a wonderful novel, and I've written a full review on that. I'll link it again in this week's show notes. My favorite novel that I've ever read, and I plan to read it again down the road. But let me tell you about a fantastic, brand new resource that Kidology has put together. I invited a friend of mine, an excellent veteran children's pastor named Glenn Woods, to join me in putting together a resource for you. And let me back up by saying, we do vacation Bible schools, we do sports camps, we do all these creative summer ministry things. And if you're like me, and I hope you're like me, I mean, I know I'm like me, we have all these great intentions of doing follow-up after an event for these kids that we reach, these visitors that come, these new families that come. But if you're like me and you're not a perfect and not always as great a children's pastor director as you would like to be, you have these idealistic intentions and great plans that you're just going to follow up on these kids and you're going to write to them, you're going to do all this great stuff. But man, after VBS, you're just on to the next thing. And you're lucky if you get one follow-up letter out. And but man, then you're on to fall recruiting, and you've got classes to fill, you've got volunteer training, you've got clearing to do, and orientation, and the fall's there, and man, you could get into October, November, and some guilt can kick in because man, you had this great summer outreach, you had all these new families, and you've gotten them in the database. Hopefully, they've subscribed to the church newsletter, but the follow-up pretty much falls to them. You know, hopefully, you know, they had a good enough experience that they'll come on their own, you know, and come back to the church. And you really wish you did more to kind of bring them back and invite them back. And you wish you could do more. Well, I got an idea of something that we could do to help churches and help children's pastors and directors and VBS directors do a better job of following up. And the idea really came out of Disciple Town, because one thing I write in Disciple Town, now that I'm not currently a children's pastor and I'm writing children's church curriculum, is I actually write a weekly email to parents about that Sunday's lesson that the Disciple Town teachers can send out to parents saying, here's what we learned this week, here's a question you can ask the kids, you know, an encouragement to use the weekly devotional parent table talkers. And I get so much feedback from people who use Disciple Town saying they love that weekly email that I write for them because they have all these great attentions to do that and they just never have time to do it. And I know that because I write that because when I was a children's pastor, I wished I would do that every week, but I just didn't have time. I was too busy being a children's pastor. And it was one of those great intention things that I would do sporadically. And when I turn over a new leaf, and then it would always, that leaf would fall to the ground and that branch would go bare, if you know what I'm saying. And so I thought, well, what if we did that for Vacation Bible School? What if I actually wrote all those follow-up emails for you? And then we thought, what if we just put that on steroids, and we wrote that for an entire year. We didn't just write a salvation email, a rededication email, and a thank you for volunteers, but we wrote one that you could send out in September, one you could send out on Halloween time, one you could send out at Thanksgiving time, one you could send out at Christmas time. It's a new year. You're making New Year's resolutions. How about a great New Year's resolution to bring your kids to church? How about one that was Easter themed? Hey, school's out. You're thinking about things to do with your kids for summer. How about coming back to Vacation Bible School? We ended up coming up with 20 different follow-up letters that could be sent through the mail or through email throughout the year. And I invited Glenn Woods to join me on that project because he's just a great writer. If you follow him on his blog, and he's got great experience, and I've used him as an editor. He's just so good. And then we thought, well, what happens? Even if you have these templates, you could still forget to do it. And I thought, you know what? We've got an email engine, and we've got subscribers, thousands of them, tens of thousands subscribed to our newsletter. What if we actually would send you email reminders? I mean, you've bought this product. You have these templates. They're in your computer. What if we gave you the ability to opt in for free, and we'll just send you an email throughout the year just at the beginning of each month to say, hey, don't forget to send out that email template that you bought, you know, last July or last spring, and just a gentle nudge. And if it drives you crazy, you can opt out of it at any time. And so Glenn Woods and I worked together on these templates. We've put together a VBS follow-up kit, and that's all I'm going to say about it. I don't want to take up too much time on the podcast, but we have put this together, and then we have created a VBS page on Kidology, kidology.org/VBS. It lists all the VBSs that are available on Kidology, and there's a ton of them. And if you buy any VBS on Kidology, we're going to give you this follow-up kit for free because we just believe in this so much, and we want to equip you and encourage you to follow up on the kids and families that come to your church. And so they will not just come to VBS, but end up becoming a part of your church, and you'll have new families come. And we want to send you these email reminders throughout the year. We want to partner with you in this way. So we really just want to give you this for free. So if you end up getting a VBS from us, we'll just give you the follow-up kit for free. Otherwise, we've priced it very affordably. The email reminders are just thrown in. It's just something we have the technology and the engine to do. And so we're just going to do that. So check out the VBS follow-up kit from Kidology, and we hope that it will bless you. And there's and I, in fact, I'm going to give a couple away. I'll figure out a way to do it. Maybe I'll put it in the show notes. I don't want to think it off the top of my head. But we'll give a couple away free on the podcast today, probably for comments in the show notes, because I love when you interact with the show. So interact with the show on in the show notes today, and I'll pick a couple at random, and I'll send you a free copy of the VBS follow-up kit. Maybe tell me what VBS you're doing, something creative and crazy you're doing to reach out to kids. And if I think it's pretty cool, I'll send you a free copy of the VBS follow-up kit. How's that sound? And then I also am so excited about the Go Fish guys. We're going to be doing a contest soon on Kidology, and Go Fish gave me a free copy of their VBS. That's going to be the first one we're going to be giving away free in a contest we're just about to be launching in our next newsletter. And so I want to play you just a little tidbit of some of their awesome music in case you aren't already nuts about the Go Fish guys. Everybody come on, let's go. Are you with me? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, stomp your feet. Well, I just love these Go Fish guys. Their music is upbeat, it's fun, it is biblically rich. I love their emphasis on scripture. And this stuff is put together so professionally, it is fantastic. You've got to take a look at it. We sell a lot of their music on our site as downloads, which is pretty cool. So you can just get downloads of Go Fish music and enjoy it right away in your ministry. You can obviously go to GoFishGuys.com and get a lot of their stuff there. They've got 3 Vacation Bible Schools out already. We have given away some for free. They're so generous to us and love working with us. I've met these guys several times, gotten to hang out with them. They need to be a part of your ministry. Kids totally dig their music. They dig these guys. They've got cool down to a total science. And I love that they also aren't just writing new stuff, but they go back and take old classic songs like this and bring them up to date. They even go back and take hymns, bring hymns up to date, and make them cool. And they're just pretty awesome. So we want to give away some free Go Fish stuff. In fact, I was just at the Children's Pastors Conference, and anytime I ask them, they just give me free stuff to give away. They just love to bless the church, and they love to bless people. So I've got a praise DVD, and I'm going to give this to the person who guessed our Kidman key word of the day, which I'll announce in a little bit. So when I put out something there to guess, you guys need to guess, because today this is going to go to the person who guessed our Kidman keyword for today. And it pays to make those guesses. So, but if you're happy and you know it, just clap your hands and be excited. And check out all the Go Fish resources on Kidology. You'll be glad that you did. Oh, and if you'd like a free copy of that song that you just heard, I put a link in the show notes. You can go to their website and sign up for their newsletter. And immediately on the thank you page, you can download that song and you'll have it for free. So how's that? You'll just right away, you can have the kids in your church singing if you're happy and you know it. So what is the Kidman keyword for today? Well, the letter S, obviously, when you were solving codes as a kid, you knew the letter S was the most frequently used letter in the alphabet. So there was a lot of choices. I mean, and it could be really tough. And I would love to go with the word silly. Being silly in kids ministry, working with kids, is very important. We could talk about strategy, and strategy is super important in having some strategic ways of addressing ministry, and where we could really dive into that. I think servant leadership could be an entire direction that we could go and really talk about how we need to serve those that work under us and subordinate ourselves to their leadership after we have set the vision and the mission and the direction. And of course, we could spend an entire show talking about how everything I need to know about children's ministry I learned from Star Wars. And you know, that would be a really fun episode. But as I reflected on it and prayed about it, I think I just really had to go and give it to our winner. And our winner for this week is none other than, and I want to, oh, I'm trying to find her name. There it is, Amanda Buckner. Congratulations. You get the Go Fish Praise DVD. I'll be dropping that in the mail to you. I'll be asking you for your address so that we can mail that to you. And the rest of you can go to GoFishGuys.com and you can order that. There's a link in the show notes. And this is a lot of the music videos from their Praise Vacation Bible School, but you can also just get the Praise DVD and their awesome worship DVDs, I mean music videos you can use in your children's church, and it is awesome. And Amanda, I opened it because, you know, they gave me one and I wanted to check it out, and so it's open, but it's unused. It's never been used in children's church, but I did take a peek at it because I really wanted to check it out and review it. But I'm going to put the DVD right back in there and mail that to you, and that's going to be pretty awesome. But I want to go talk about, and I want to go the direction of talking about, how do we keep our ministry simple? You know, sometimes I think we get a little carried away in our children's ministries. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves that just a few years ago, I mean, not that long ago, there were not even children's pastors. And here we're children's pastors or children's directors or children's coordinators, whatever your title is. Don't worry about title. Sometimes we get wrapped up in those titles. And sometimes we get hurt when we're not given the title that we want. And that's a topic perhaps for another time. But before there was ever a paid position or even an administrative volunteer position over children's ministry, there was a time when there was nobody over the children's ministry. In fact, it was just led by volunteers. There was a time when there was not even segregated, you know, classes, and kids came to Christ and they came to church and they learned, and it wasn't ideal. I know there's some people wanting to return to that, and I don't agree with that entirely. I think there's often pendulum swings, and we can talk about that another time. But there was a time when there wasn't all this craziness. And you can go to a conference today, and there are workshops on everything. And we can get a little overwhelmed thinking, man, I got to be doing this, and I got to be doing that, and this workshop says I should be doing this, and this leader says I should be doing this, and this guru says I should be doing that, and every 3 months another book comes out and says I should be doing this, and doing that, and doing the other, and this other thing, and then there's all these trends. And then we look at what all these big successful churches are doing, and we want to do what they're doing. And people are always asking us how big our ministry is and how many kids do we have. And it can get really stressful. And we start to measure our success by how much we're doing and how busy we are. And there's a time that we need to back up a little bit and say, whoa, hold on a second. And we've talked on this podcast before about quitting, about doing too much, about our own health and our own, how we're doing in our walk with God and how our marriage is doing, how our parenting is doing. And we sometimes need to just chill out a little bit and say, let's go back to the basics. How often do you hear that in sports and in baseball and in football and in basketball? And I'm no expert of sports. My brother's a professional sports writer, so he will start laughing. I don't think he listens to my podcast, but he'd start laughing if I start talking sports. You know, I have to Google stuff before I talk to him just so I can engage in the sports conversation with him, because he's the Rain Man of sports. You know, he just knows everything about sports. But I know enough about sports to know that often teams have to go back to the basics and go back to the fundamentals, because they can get so complicated and everything, they can actually start to lose, and they sometimes need to go back to the fundamentals and back to the basics, and they can actually start winning again. And I think that's true in ministry. And so I want to kind of go through an acronym of the word simple. And I think at times our ministries get so complicated and have so many layers and we're doing so much that we're going crazy. And I can tell you, I've been there, where you start to lose the joy of ministry, the joy of the kids, the joy of serving the Lord. And it's frankly because we're doing more than God has asked us to do. And so I'm going to start out with the letter S. And one of the basics of our job, if we're a leader in children's ministry, is simply staffing. And we can get so busy doing so many different things that our staffing starts to hurt. And we have to realize that, you know, part of our basic job is just staffing our classrooms. But there's some strategic ways in how to do that. And sometimes we take on the role of realizing that our job is to staff everything. And so we think, well, my job is I got to staff everything and we're calling everything. And so one of the tough decisions, and I talk about this in our putting the pastor back in the job, in your job description workshop, which I believe is on Kidology, and in 10 steps to rebooting your children's ministry, which I did at CPC this last year. And I believe that handout right now is on kidology.org/CPC12, and that won't be up forever. So you can quickly download that. And I think the MP3 of the workshop is there, is that your job can't be to staff everything. You're just one person. So you have got to build a leadership team so that you are really just staffing a leadership team. Your job is to staff leaders, is to have, and every church is going to look different, but to have a nursery leader, a grade school leader, a preschool leader, whether it's an Awana leader or a Royal Rangers leader, whatever club program you have, and then those leaders recruit the leaders under them. And then you need to develop a substitute strategy so that you're not getting those calls on Saturday night when people are sick. You've got to build in place strategies and systems so that all the staffing doesn't follow to you. But you do need to own that that responsibility is yours. But you build in processes and systems and strategies so that that staffing is taken care of. Because sometimes we can get so busy doing so many different things that that starts to fall apart. And if your staffing starts to fall apart, that's like the structure. That's the skeleton of the children's ministry. And people start to get frustrated. Parents get frustrated. Your boss gets frustrated. Volunteers that are filling in those gaps too often, there can start to be resentment. And children's pastors have ultimately lost their jobs because they weren't managing the staffing. You know, they kind of forgot the number one reason they were hired, even though it's not very spiritual and it's not very ministry, was that they just frankly weren't staffing the classrooms. And sometimes they need to step back from all these other exciting things they were doing and kind of do their job. And so right away on Monday morning, they need to think about the following Sunday and say, have I got my classes staffed? Look a few little further out maybe than Sunday, but you know, how's my staffing going? Do I have the leaders in place? Am I developing substitutes? Am I developing leaders in training? And then I'm going to give you a little secret. All right. This leaked out in a forum post this last week, and I got a couple emails about it, and I thought, all right, I'm going to let my secret out. Not very many people knew about this even in my last ministry, but I had a little secret strategy, and I called them my secret aces. And every now and then in every ministry, I would come across people who were highly skilled in children's ministry or in teaching, but they were done. And they were done for good reasons. I mean, they had been a children's pastor in the past, or a CE director, or a school teacher. I mean, they were somebody that could probably do my job, probably better than me. But they were done for whatever reason. Their kids had grown. They had just lost interest. They'd had a career change. Maybe they'd been hurt by a previous church, and they were just kind of turned off at children's ministry. Whatever. I mean, they gave me their reason, and they basically were done. I mean, they didn't want to be involved in children's ministry. But I knew that they had skills, and they knew that they could do it. Or maybe they had, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to spend any more time on it. But for whatever reason, they pretty much were done. They did not want a regular position of children's ministry. So what I would do is I would go to these individuals, and sometimes they were highly involved in another ministry area, but I just knew they could handle a classroom. And so I went out and I bought some attaché cases, some black leather cases, fake leather, and I filled them with a complete lesson. I mean, I planned an entire lesson with prizes, with photocopied lesson sheets, with laminated pictures of the Bible story. Sometimes it was a VHS tape. Yeah, I'm dating my story. VHS tape that could be plugged in with the Bible story, queued up and ready to go. I completely planned an entire lesson that could do a pretty wide age range, complete with a gift card to Applebee's or Chili's for $25, and stuck that in the little pocket there. And I locked it with a combination lock, and I hid these in the resource room back behind the refrigerator or somewhere where, you know, it was hidden. And then I had those ready to go. And then I went to these individuals and I explained that when everything breaks down, and I said, you know, I have got teachers committed to teach. they've got somebody that they call when they get sick, because that's part of their job description, that they have to already have their own sub. It's a friend, you know, it's last year's teacher. I mean, their responsibility, every teacher's responsible to have a sub that they call before they even call their director. And then the director's responsible to have substitute list that they have trained and orientation and background checked and everything. That's so when the teacher can't get their sub, they call the director, and the director has a sub list, and it's the director's job to fill that emergency gap. And when the director can't do it, for whatever reason, they're on vacation or they go through their list and they strike out, they're to call someone else on the leadership team. And then that leadership team co-member, they're to try and solve it themselves by going through their sub list or brainstorming who they know. And then if they can't do it, they're to call another team. I mean, I've got stacks and I mean, there's a whole domino effect. But when everything breaks down, and it happens, and it goes through all these stages, and if it ever gets to me, I mean, I can't take the class myself. I can't call a senior pastor. So I go to these people and they say, here's all the things I have in place. And when all of that breaks down and it gets to me, I mean, I've got to teach children's church. So when it gets to me, it's bad. And I need to have an ace up my sleeve. You know, sorry to use a poker analogy. I don't know if that's offend anybody out there, but I need a top secret agent who I can call and say, you're on. And I'm going to give you the code to the attaché case. I'm going to tell you where it's hidden. The entire lesson's in there. And with that attaché case is a $25 gift certificate. Yeah, I'm going to know what their favorite restaurant is. I'm going to pull that from the safe. I'm going to put it in there. And I'm not going to ask you again for a year. 12 months. Once every 12 months is the most you'll serve. And I'll have three or four people like that. And they'll do it. And when they get back, they say, don't worry about it. You can call me again. And I say, nope. Once a year is it. A few I had twice a year, depending on how many aces I had, but no more than twice a year, and never again for another 6 months. So have those aces up your sleeve, because that staffing is your responsibility. But keep it simple. Focus on your staffing, and don't forget that that's your responsibility. Number two is infrastructure, and simple. That's the I. Evaluate your program plan. Get a piece of paper out and write down every program you're over, whether it's Sunday school and you got Awana and you got choir and you got your kids crew, that was one of mine, or you've got, you know, and write them all out. And then really ask some hard questions. Why are you doing all these programs? And sometimes you won't know why. And you need to ask some really hard questions. Why am I doing all this? And if you can't write out in one sentence specifically why you're doing them, then maybe you need to take a year off of one of them. And you may have to go to your boss and say, you know what, don't be offended by this, but I really want to know why are we doing this? Because you probably inherited some things. And I wanted to be able to have a specific reason. You know, our Sunday school was to teach kids chronologically, systematically through the Bible. We used a very solid Bible curriculum, core curriculum. It was the less fun but more inductive Bible study hour. We did Sunday school testing. There's a new post about that on Kidology. And we didn't worry about fun. It was fun, but it was less inclined for kids to bring visitors. But that was our purpose of Sunday school. It was for the more solid family, Christian kids, and it was more educational. Kids church was much more fun, much more visitors. Its purpose was worship and practical application. Awana was really outreach. The focus was on scripture memory and outreach and games and evangelism. We shared the gospel there more often than we did in the others. And we knew how many times and how often we'd share the gospel in each program. Sunday school the least, kids church more, Awana the most. Our kids crew was for training kids for service, and so they served. But every program, you need to know why you do it. And if you have something you don't know why you do it, so that infrastructure, evaluating your program, that is the framework of your ministry. And if you don't know why you do something and it doesn't have a specific goal, then maybe you shouldn't be doing it. And make sure you're not calendar driven. So many pastors and leaders, they look at the calendar and they go, well, there's a lot of space here. I better plan something. I was so blessed in the ministry I had where my pastor said to me when I was hired, I don't want you to be calendar driven. I want you to be ministry driven. If the calendar's blank, but there's ministry taking place, I'm okay with that. If you put something on the calendar, I want there to be a ministry purpose behind it. And I want to be able to ask you, what's the ministry reason for this event? And I remember the early days where I got out a blank calendar and I felt like there had to be something every other week. And I was calendar driven. And it was so refreshing to have a pastor who said, I don't care if there's nothing on the calendar, if there's ministry taking place. So I could be discipling kids and doing visitation and training kids for ministry. And I could have no events for an entire month. And that would be great. So make sure your infrastructure is strategic. And, you know, if you're just doing Sunday ministry for a month, that could be fine because that's part of your infrastructure. All right. S, staffing. Make sure you're paying attention to your staffing. Look at your infrastructure. Keep it simple. Just be doing things that have purpose. And you're not adding a bunch of stuff just to add stuff. M is meetings. Man, really evaluate your meetings and keep it simple. Sometimes, man, these meetings, they just start cropping up like gremlins, man. You need to really look at, why are you having a meeting? Look at when the meetings are. Can they be more strategic? Can they meet during the other things? Can you combine meetings? What is the purpose of a meeting? There's some great posts on toddmcgeever.com on meetings, one of our board members and one of our coaches. All right. What is the expected or the needed outcome of a meeting? Start and end your meetings on time. So many meetings just go and go and go. And man, they just don't need to be that long. Cancel a meeting if it's not really needed. You know, occasionally you can change it to something more social because social interaction is good, you know, but don't meet just for the sake of meetings. And if you don't need to meet monthly, meet every other month. Value people's time, value those relationships, but really take a hard look at your meetings because you might be able to simplify your ministry just by cutting out some meetings, minimizing meetings. I know children's pastors have 20 hours of meetings a week, and it's insane. And sometimes you got to put your foot down and just not go to some meetings. Occasionally, you just need to not show for some meetings. You know, I'm not saying be dishonest and call in sick, but as tempting as that may be, but just saying, you know what, there's some meetings that I'm just not going to go to. I'm going to cancel. You know, someone said to me recently, they cancel family things all the time for church, but they were asked, when's the last time you canceled a church thing for family? And I put that challenge on there. When's the last time you stood up a church meeting because you just wanted to spend an evening with your family? Because so many times your family has been canceled because you had a church meeting. It needs to go both ways. There needs to be some church things that you just said, I'm sorry, I need an evening with my family tonight. And you need to do that. Okay, so staffing, infrastructure, meetings, and planning is the P. Planning is so important. And you've got to keep things simple. You've got to plan. You've got to take that time to look ahead. And I'm going to tell you a very simple way to plan. And it is so simple that you might almost think this is overly simplistic, but I just simply call it the 4W plan. You take one sheet of paper, fold it in half one way, fold it in half the other way, unfold it. You've got four quadrants. And in those four quadrants, you just label them with 4 W's in the corner. All right, the first one is why. And that is so important. It's just like when you're looking at meetings and you're looking at programs. Why is the most important question in ministry? All right? And you ask, why are we doing this event? You've got to be able to sell an event to people if you want them to volunteer for it. If you want people to give resources to it and give time to it, you need to be able to define, why are you doing this thing that you're planning? And if you don't have a strong, compelling reason, you might be able to crinkle up that piece of paper and cancel it. I cancel events all the time, even ones I'm emotionally attached to. If I don't have buy-in for it, if I start hearing the people say, well, Carl really wants to do this, I'm like, whoa, this thing is canceled. We're not doing anything because Carl wants to do it. All right, we're either all excited about this or we just scrap it. All right, so answer that question, why, in the first quadrant. And in that quadrant, you have why you do it, and then you also write out your vision for it. And vision, I know everyone talks about vision, it's a big hip thing. The vision is just a description of what it's going to look like when it's done or when it happens, and just write that in a paragraph form. Just describe it. Draw a mental picture of it. And that's that why box. The next one is when. You know, when's this going to happen? And how far out is it? The time? You know, those kind of details. That's so important to spell that out. And what are some of the whens that need to take place leading up to it? It's all those time-based things is that whole when box. All right, the next one is the what. All right, what needs to take place? And you just start thinking about, what do I need? You know, what resources do I need? What needs to be done? Put little circles next to them all for check boxes, and just start racking your brain about all the what's that you're going to need, all the physical things you're going to need, all the tasks you need to do, all the press release, the permissions, what rooms are going to be needed. I mean, your brain will just start unfolding, and you just start thinking about the what. And the last one is the who. And number one is, who's going to lead this thing? Because it better not be you. It needs to be someone else is going to lead it. And I'm firm on that. I don't lead any ministry. One of my points in 10 steps to rebooting your ministry is that you need to stop leading stuff. The only thing I lead is my leadership team, and I led my children's church, because that's kind of like the senior pastor not preaching. I led my children's church because, as the children's pastor, I wanted to be the leader of my children's church. And so I led my kids' crew, and as like my mini little church, you know. And other than that, if I didn't have a leader, I figured God's not behind this. Because if God's behind this, he'll raise up a leader. And then I would encourage that leader, equip that leader, walk with that leader, empower that leader, pour into that leader, help that leader, coach that leader. But there had to be a leader. So number one, that who box is, who's the point person? Who's leading that thing? And then who are all the other people you're going to need? And plan those things. And work those things out ahead of time. And have that one-page strategic plan. And start from there. And then, of course, you can use other tools and expand on that. But for every event you're doing or every program, you got to plan. You got to work ahead and throw those in a binder. And if you want to get fancier with computer programs and all that, that's fine. And how you do that, lots of people have different ideas and different ways. And this isn't the time or place for that. But I always just started on it with a piece of paper and looking far ahead and going, what is a month out? What's 2 months out? What's 3 months out? And start planning. Because part of keeping it simple is saying, you know what, my basic job is, I got to look at my staffing, I got to look at my infrastructure, I got to take a hard look at my meetings, I got to do some planning. And the next one might surprise you. The next one is love. And I'm not talking about loving God, that's important. Not talking about loving your spouse and your kids, that's important. But this is about ministry. And you need to write down, and you need to think about, what do you love about ministry? Why did you get into ministry? And I would challenge you to write that down on a piece of paper, reflect on that, and then don't lose sight of that. And make sure you schedule that into your ministry every week. Because if you don't, you will get dry, and you will actually start to resent your ministry, because it will become your job. Your job will become the enemy of your ministry. So whether it's teaching, whether it's training, whether it's performing, if you're a gospel magician or a clown or something, whether it's just coordinating large events, you do love that, and you got to have one big event, giant auction, or a giant, maybe it is Vacation Bible School, and you need to do one of those big events, that's fine. But then you need to make that a part of what you do. For me, it's discipling kids one-on-one. Then you've got to make sure you schedule that thing that you love into your life every week. For me, it was visiting kids, discipling kids, taking kids out to lunch. Because when I didn't have that in my ministry, I started to starve. And I started to actually hate my job, resent the church, resent all the paper, the emails, the voicemails, and all that stuff. So you've got to make sure, if you're going to keep it simple, you've got to make sure that that stuff you love gets put into your weekly routine. Otherwise, all that other stuff will crowd out the very thing you love and that drew you to that ministry in the first place. And you got to make sure you keep it simple enough that you keep doing that stuff that you love. Otherwise, you're not going to love your job anymore. The last one's encouragement. Don't forget, whether your title is pastor or not, you are a shepherd of kids and leaders and volunteers. Even if you're not in leadership, we're all called to be encouragers. So even if you're in a volunteer role, then you can encourage up. You can be an encourager of your pastor. Don't lose the sight that in the midst of administering, you're still a shepherd. Start your calls and your emails with a word of encouragement, asking people how they are, even though you need to find out if they can work on Sunday and do the second hour. Start with the word of just asking how they are or complimenting them on something that they did, and end those calls with a short prayer. Bring back visitation into your ministry. That is so gone in most ministries. And take people out to lunch. Take them out for a coffee. Visit kids. Surprise people by calling with no agenda. Have a list of your volunteers and their phone numbers. Put them in your favorites on your iPhone or your, what's that other one? Android, that's what it is. And call them with no agenda. See, people are waiting for the agenda. And when you call without an agenda and you say, well, that's the only reason I called, they're like, really? Wow. So be a pastor, not just a recruiter and a scheduler. And make encouragement a priority by resurrecting handwritten notes. You know, buy cool stationery, make your own with your own photography if you want, or cool cartoons that you find, make them on your laser printer, or just buy old stationery. I mean, cool stationery, not old stationery. I mean, old style. Be old style by bringing back stationery and writing handwritten notes, and you can keep them short. But I'm telling you, if you go back to the basics and you keep things simple and you try and finish each day by saying, you know what, I focused on my staffing today. I looked at my infrastructure. I canceled a few meetings. You know how good it feels to cancel a meeting? I dare you today to cancel a meeting. You know, put in the show notes, I canceled a meeting today. You will feel so good. You'll go home and tell your spouse, guess what I did today? I canceled a meeting on Thursday night. Your spouse will probably thank you. All right? And do some planning. Look on your calendar. See what's down the road. Grab a sheet. Fold it in half twice. And just write down that who, the when, the what, and the why. I said why last, but you got to do that first. You know, focus on something that you love this week. Write an encouragement note. Get back to the basics and keep things simple. Cancel a program. You'll feel even better, right? And if you keep it simple, you'll find your joy for ministry will drastically improve. So that's my challenge for you this week. The world, even the Kidman world, it wants you to grow your ministry, build your ministry, and keep adding stuff. And I'm saying, I'm giving you permission. It's okay to cut back a little bit. It will give you more time for actual ministry, which is talking to kids, talking to volunteers, maybe discipling someone, maybe going out with someone, maybe writing a note. Because guess what? Jesus never started a single program. What did he do? He walked with people. He talked with people. He healed people. He encouraged people. What's that old song? And he walks with me and he talks with me. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Too many children's pastors have lost the joy or don't know the joy of tarrying because they're so busy. Simplifying your life and ministry will bring back a lot of joy to your ministry. If your ministry's feeling a little out of control and a little nuts, I would encourage you to check out Kidology's online training Leadership Lab number one. It's called First Things First, and it will walk you through some helpful steps on getting your relationship with God and with your family, with your friends first. Many people have said it's been extremely helpful to them because that's the first step in leadership before you even start to think about vision and ministry foundations and all those other things. Well, I'm looking forward to giving away some VBS follow-up kits to help make your ministry next summer even more effective. So remember, they are free when you order a VBS kit from our Kidology.org/VBS page, or they're available in our store and it's very affordable. But I want to give away some for free. So log into the discussion forum linked at the bottom of the show notes and tell me something creative you are doing this summer to reach out to kids. And I'm going to pick a few and email you a free copy. Remember, you can shape the show, interact on the show notes, email Carl at KidmanTalk.com, Twitter at KidmanTalk, And next week's Kidmin keyword will begin with the letter T. Register your guess of what you think it's going to be, and you too could be a winner. Well, this is Carl signing off until next time when we will again talk Kidmin.